Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the rap game, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap. Check the facts, expose those cats. Who pose as heroes, take advantage of blacks. The government's gangsters will cut the crap.
Well, hi there. It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. It's where we talk about any and everything. It's our off-air podcast. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Miss Holly O'Connor.
Hello.
Scotty the Body, our associate producer, will be...
I'm just kidding.
He'll be here in just a second. And then Ryan maybe will be making an appearance, producer Ryan. And we have a special guest for a little bit, Miss Sydney.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hi.
How are you, Sydney?
I'm great.
So here's the thing that you don't know about radio stations is there's like an army of people behind the scenes that help things run.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because when it was Thanksgiving and my boyfriend, Mr. Silver Fox, his family came down and my mom came down for the holidays, and his dad was really curious about like what happens at a radio station. And so I brought them on a tour, and it took about an hour because I wanted to give them like an in-depth sort of preview of like what we do. And, you know, when I showed them to like the sales department, the engineering, the studios, and he looked at me and goes, "Wow, Miguel, this is a lot.
Oh,
I didn't realize there was so much. I thought it was just you guys and a couple people behind the scenes." And I'm like, oh no,
nope.
There is an army.
Yeah.
An army of people.
It's a mountain,
you know,
of people.
And so, Sydney, how would you describe your position here at Hot 101.5 Cox Media Group?
Oh, I just kind of always tell people that I'm here to do whatever anyone asks me to do. but, I mean, technically, I'm a board operator, so I'm just here to make sure the equipment is running smoothly. And
yeah.
I'm here to fix problems.
Yeah.
But I try to do more than that.
Oh.
I'll get bored.
Yeah. And but that I don't want anybody to like to underestimate, like, that is integral. Like, that is such an important part of a radio station, especially in a market this size, because like one thing goes wrong and it starts to be like a mm-hmm. crap heap of thing after thing after thing. So everything has to run exactly the way it should.
And it's millions of dollars on the line. Do you realize that, Sydney, when you're here, that there are literally millions of dollars in livelihoods on the line when you're here? So you have a big responsibility.
Yeah, I try not to think about it like that.
True.
So, Sydney, so when you say you are a board operator, because, you know, most people have no concept
right.
of like what happens at a radio station. So are you like pressing the buttons for the songs and all the radio stations? What exactly are you doing?
Not most of the time, because radio is pretty automated these days, but every now and then there's, you know, opportunities where, you know, when you guys are like broadcasting live from location, you need mm-hmm. someone to run the board for you. So that's when I can actually like press buttons and
okay.
stuff like that.
Now, and as a board operator, because when we do have live broadcasts, like, you're the person here in the studio that's like working and making sure mm-hmm. that, you know, if we're live somewhere, like when we did our 10 and 10, you were operating and making sure we were getting out on the air when anybody on our sister station, The Bone, they're doing it. So who would you say is the biggest diva when stuff goes wrong? And you can be honest, if it's us or if it's like Mike Calta
Why
or Drew Garabo. No. Well, listen, here's the thing. And now I'm gonna say this. When I say diva, I don't mean that in a bad sense, because
okay.
when you're on the air and you're putting on the show, and if stuff is not working, it's very frustrating, because you know that there are thousands of people that are depending on you and for entertainment. And so
right.
when things don't go right, anybody would lose their ish. And I've lost it a couple of times, not on you because you're great. A couple of other board ops mm-hmm. that I have, actually there's just one that I've had to
oh, God.
Sit him down and be like, "What is you doing, baby?
Yeah.
Get it together."
Yeah.
And now he thanks me for having that sort of talk with
That's
him.
Good.
Now, pretty much, as I keep narrowing down who it is,
okay.
him. But who would you say is like the biggest freaker outer when stuff
I
goes
mean,
wrong?
Thankfully, I feel like I haven't had that much stuff go wrong to really see. But
because
I
you're
mean,
so good at your job.
I'm amazing.
She is, though. Like, we request her, and then we're like, "Oh, sorry, you got to get up so early."
No, it's fine. I know the first time I ever worked with Danielle, the broadcast was awful.
Ooh.
I made so many mistakes, and it was my first time doing a broadcast of Magic, and her first time there as well. And I think there's just like we both had assumptions on our own sides, and we had never worked with each other. We had never worked in that station. So she definitely wasn't a diva about it, but she was obviously upset.
Yeah.
And it was a Disney broadcast, too.
Right.
And Disney's a very important client.
Yeah.
So, and again, she wasn't a diva about it, but it was obvious. Like, I felt awful, and she felt awful. And she actually called me at, like, 10 o'clock that night and just wanted to apologize. And we had this whole huge discussion about it. So I don't know if diva is the right word.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. She definitely cares a lot.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? And that's what it comes down to. Because if you didn't care when stuff went wrong, that means that you don't care about your product.
Yeah.
And we want to put out a great product anytime that we're on the air.
That's what we do. This is what we take pride in.
And this is what makes sure that we stay in our houses and we have a place to live and we're able to eat. So we want to make sure that it's good.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite person out of everyone to work with?
Oh, my God.
Sydney.
Miguel and Holly.
Oh. I'm just, listen, you don't have to say that. Maybe.
No, it probably is. Honestly.
Why?
I don't know. You guys are fun.
Okay.
You guys are fun. And I feel like it's more, even though it is obviously you take it very seriously and it is your job, it's still, I feel like you guys view it as a fun job and it's not like you don't come across as if like you've just gotten used to this being your career and you're just going to do it every day. Like you still seem like you guys have fun. Sorry. Mm.
No, it's fine. No, it's true. I mean, and that's something that I think that Holly and I, and I think I credit this to Holly's mom and my mom in keeping us humble and learning and knowing that this is just a job and that if you take away these microphones and we're just Miguel and Holly, like, that's it. It's a job.
Yeah.
And so if you take it too seriously and if you walk into it being like, look at me, I'm almighty and powerful. Girl, as soon as that microphone goes away, you have nothing.
Yeah.
What, you got an Instagram account? That's about it. And so you got to go in and have fun. And the day, I've always said the day that I don't want to wake up early, that I'm not having fun, which has been close to several times in our tenure here, it's time for me to do something else. Because why else would you do this?
Right.
Why else would you sacrifice and do all the stuff behind the scenes that you don't see who's listening that we have to do? So thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Good. Now, what do you think about Scott's meteoric rise to fame in Tampa Bay?
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I trained Scott on how to use the board at Pulse Radio.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Wait.
The whole reason why I got started in radio, like full circle, was because of Sydney.
What?
Like, legitimately, yes. I walked in. She trained me, like, and she took me into the studio, and that's where it just click all came together. And that was literally because of you.
So when he's big and famous, oh, I need him to be sending some of those checks my way.
I love Full Circle Moments.
That is,
I feel like I'm gonna tear up.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Well, because you know, that's the great thing about radio, about how it's cyclical like that.
Yes.
And even like we're getting like super behind the scenes right now, but that's why I love the podcast. We have six radio stations here, and someone who was on our sister station, The Eagle, Nick Van Cleve, who's been on the radio here in Tampa Bay, I think for what, 30, 40 years?
Yeah.
He just retired on April Fool's Day, appropriately enough. And I really, really wanted to get him in here to do like a one-on-one about his radio career, because I just find someone who's been in the business that long.
And has been able to stay in
yes.
the business.
I mean, he was on The Eagle for 15 years and other radio stations here. And I know the Tampa Bay Times did a full article on him, and he talked about, you know, run-ins with like some huge classical rock artist that, like, you know, Holly, you know more about them than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so fascinating to me. But then Ann Kelly, who's the morning show on The Dove, whose studio we're in right now recording this, he was her program director when they were in college years ago in Ohio. And then now they work here in Tampa Bay side by side.
Yes.
So it's just so cool to sort of see those stories happening. So that could be you two later on in life.
I was telling you, radio is such a small world. It turns out like my very, very first radio internship was at the station that Ann Kelly used to work for in Toledo.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know she knew Nick Van Cleve, and I didn't even know she was there until we started talking because we're both from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, you know, that rock station in Toledo. I was like, wait, what? Which one?
Mm.
And that's the one that I interned for.
Wow.
It's really crazy how interconnected, because this, I mean, it's a very small industry anyway,
mm-hmm.
but it's really crazy how interconnected everybody is. And like, that's why they tell you, I guess in industries like this, but probably any industry,
mm-hmm.
you don't burn bridges.
Right.
Because you don't know who you're going to need a job from,
right.
or who you're going to be hiring, or who you're going to be working with.
I mean, because just imagine, because I think Ann Kelly has been here, wait, that was 25 years. Trying to think before that. I think she's close to 30 years, I think, here in Tampa Bay.
I think she is, because I think she got an award recently.
She did. I'm trying to remember what year it was. But
well, there's 30 behind you.
Oh, is that 30?
Oh, there's signs all around.
Wow. It doesn't say what year it is, but 30 years. So let's just say that, like, while they were in college, that, like, maybe Nick Van Cleve was, like, mean Ann Kelly back in the day. And so when they were like, hey, we're hiring this new guy to do mornings on our classic rock station we're launching, and she was like, I don't like him.
Right.
He mean.
Boom. And then he would have not gotten that job just because of one thing he did years ago. That's why you always got to put a smile on your face, even if you don't like them.
Oh, yes. God. That's called playing the game.
Exactly. Now, Sydney, what do you want to do in radio?
I mean, I still am not sure because I don't necessarily want to be on air. And I feel like that is the clearest path and, like, the most common way for people to move up. Mm-hmm. So I'm more interested in, like, either music direction or programming. And I know 97X's program director, Jenna, was never on air. So I am going to start, like, working with her more.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm finally being officially transferred to her team. I've been a board op here for years, but, like, on paper, I still say promo. So now, yeah, it's officially happening.
Wow.
So I'll have, like, a real contact.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you will be, like, programming 97X?
No. Well,
you'll be on the programming team.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
That's the other thing. Everything's on with cloudy. They're like, well, just hang out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the hard thing about radio is that there are no direct paths. There is no, you know, like if you, I mean, and I'm sure that's with any industry, but it's more easily researched. Like if you're like, I want to be a lawyer somewhere. I want to be an occupational therapist.
No. In other industries, there are clear paths because they lay out like a training session. They say, okay, well, you're on this whatever path for 90 days and you're going to get this training. You're going to go here. Then you move to this thing. And then if you do well here, then you move to that. And a lot of industries work that way. Here, it's real like willy-nilly. It's like, how does somebody get to be this giant morning show person and somebody else at the same that came in at the same time is on like the promotions team? It's very... There's no rhyme or reason.
No, and it's hard. Some of it's hard work. Some of it's luck. Some of it's just timing. Mm-hmm. And so it's all different. Everyone has a different story about how they got to where they are. Mm-hmm. Well, Sydney, if you end up becoming a program director one day, or I should say when you become a program director and you're working in New York or LA and, you know, they've put Holly and I out to pasture and Scott's replaced us and he's the new hot young thing here in Tampa Bay.
Hey.
Can you promise to sign us up to do a morning show and pay us each, Holly and I, somewhere between $600,000 and $700,000 a year?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know how it is, right? And I'm just
you're already sounding like management now. Oh, well, the market really can't bear that right now,
right?
And we just don't know.
I'm just gonna. I can tell you what. I will promise that I will do whatever is the best for my radio station.
Look at
you! Put your foot down,
Sydney. You're already a program director.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other line you need to practice is. Shut up and play the music, okay? That's going to be your next line you're going to practice as a program director,
yeah,
okay?
Sounds good.
Well, that's awesome. And can you please do the line that I love to hear you say all the time? So Sydney also voices some commercials for us sometimes. And what's that commercial that you do?
I did.
You did? What is it?
It was for Todd Couple Superstore.
Mm-hmm. And what's their tagline? Everyone close your eyes and just imagine. Here we go.
In
yes.
World.
Here we go.
I'm so not a performer.
I love it. Here we go.
Passion, play, pleasure.
Yes!
Ryan walks in and is like, hey!
He said, somebody say play?
Sydney, real quick, what's all of your social media? People can check you out.
Oh my goodness. I think everything is just Sydney Demps, my full name.
Sydney Demps.
SYDNEYDEMPS.
Perfect. Thank you, Sydney. See you later. All right, producer Ryan, you're joining us today.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. There's no headphone plug here, so whatever.
Oh, that's all right. You barely like wearing your headphones in the studio when we're on the show.
Just talk loudly,
anyway.
That's all.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll tell you when you're talking low.
Hey. Hi.
Oh, good.
Good morning.
Good.
There we go. Holly, how are you? What's going on in your life?
I got gallstones.
Oh, gosh.
Why am I Debbie Downer? Like, what the hell?
Wah, wah,
oh, my God. So, yeah, everything's good. I mean, everything is genuinely okay in my life. Okay, so when was it? Last Thursday, I started having like stomach issues, like cramps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my stomach doesn't feel good. And everyone's like, oh, nauseous? Nope, not at all. It just hurts. There's pain.
Mm.
And then I was like, whatever. Maybe it's like gas, whatever. And then the next day, it was a little bit worse.
Mm.
And then the next day, it was a lot worse. And then...
Wait, hold on, Ryan.
Ryan's breathing.
Ryan, oh, breathing I can't hard. Hear myself.
Since you can't hear yourself, literally.
Ryan's like...
I'm like, yeah, gallstones.
The first time it happened, I thought the computer was on. I was like, what is that?
You're like, what's that hiss?
No, that was Ryan breathing heavily into the microphone.
Sorry about that, Holly.
No, it's fine. So then... It just continued to get worse. And so Sunday, I was out all day at this church festival and then running around. I felt like dead. Like, I actually cried in my driveway after I took the dog for a walk because it was just so painful. And it had been painful for days. So I took my ass to the hospital on Monday. And because I was like, I don't know what's wrong. But after doing some research, I was like, maybe it's pancreatitis. Because it was on the center and left side.
Right.
And I talked about it on the air Monday. And I'm like, going to the hospital after this. Because on Sunday night, it was the worst. And I was like, I should go now. But who in the hell goes to the hospital on a Sunday night?
Right.
You got your C squad working. You got like, it's going to just be a time because no doctors are really want to be there. Anyway.
Right.
So, I went on Monday, which was also terrible, and Ryan said something to me Monday, which was absolutely correct. He's like, oh, man, emergency rooms on a Monday. That's going to suck. It did.
Really? Was it that bad on Monday?
Yes.
So everyone's just like waiting for Monday after the weekend?
Yeah. It looked like a high school play of what they assume a waiting room looks like.
Like, because you don't want to ruin your weekend. If you can, right. like, kind of make it through the weekend
right.
before going to the ER and then just, like, get out of work for a couple days on Monday after being diagnosed or whatever you did, like, that's the way to go.
That's exactly what happened. I walk in. It is packed out. There are scarcely any chairs. There's like a mom and a screaming kid in a stroller. There is an old man in a wheelchair with his head bandaged up.
Oh, my God.
There was an old man in another wheelchair moaning and groaning about like holding on to something. There was like people with crutches. It just looked like everyone was falling apart.
Wow.
And I looked fine, but I'm in pain.
Right.
And you know what? I don't know if other people do this, but I feel like I was getting judged.
Mm.
Like, I get in there, I give them my info, and everybody, like, kind of looks at me because everyone is just broken. Like,
right.
everyone is, like, either sick. There's a woman doubled over on the couch, like, just, you know, huddled up. Somebody's wrapped up in a blanket. And I was just like, hey.
Next time you go to the emergency room, you just have to take some bandages with you and wrap yourself up. No matter what, just, you know, try to fit
in. So I don't feel ashamed that I don't look terrible.
You should have just, like, put a bandage on your stomach and just went in with your shirt up and like, I am hurt, y'all.
After a while, every time I started walking somewhere, I would hold my stomach.
Yeah.
Because I was
gotta
like,
show people.
Y'all, I am in pain right here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it twisted. I didn't just have a hangnail or something.
Mm-hmm.
I got back about 2 hours later, and it turns out I have gallstones.
Ugh.
Yeah, gallstones being like little deposits of cholesterol or like bile that kind of collect over time. And come to find out, I guess it sort of runs in my family. I had no idea about that.
Is it hereditary or is it something that you, because of your diet
it
or what you're eating?
Either. Some people, I guess, are kind of predisposed. That would be like, I guess, me.
Mm-hmm.
It can also come from, I guess it hits women more often because of estrogen.
Mm.
Estrogen can cause more gallstones. I think it's just a buildup and it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have gallstones their whole life and never know. And they don't have any symptoms, and they're just there hanging out.
Mm.
What happens is, I thought, and doing my research, I was like, okay, it could be if one of them traveled into the bile duct that goes to the liver or the pancreas.
Oh.
And then I was like, well, the gallbladder's on the right side. And I'm like, my right side doesn't hurt.
Right.
I was confused, but they're like, well, it looks like, you know, it's not an emergency situation because they did an ultrasound.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it doesn't look like any of the stones are blocking any ducts, but you do have them.
Right.
So you're probably going to need to get your gallbladder removed.
Oh.
And they're like, you know, here's a surgeon's name and number. Give them a call. I did. The earliest appointment they had is in a month from now. But luckily, I think it must have been like an episode or what people call like a gallbladder attack.
A flare-up or something?
Yeah, because in the past, like since Monday, it hasn't been as bad as over the weekend.
Mm.
And I credit it sort of too, because when you eat like greasy foods or high-fat foods or really any foods, it kind of irritates it. And I had fasted from like, I ate dinner on Sunday at 5 p.m. and then I didn't eat anything again until Monday at 5 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So 24 hours of no eating or drinking anything, it started to clear up. Like, right. It felt better. It's still painful, but it's not like, I don't feel like I'm dying. So I was
so
like,
that's a good quality of life.
Right?
Like, I'm not dying,
no, it's
but
good. So I feel like I'm nervous now because we had a caller. I talked about this on the air, and we had a caller that said, you know, she just had a gallbladder out a long time ago, hers, and she said she wasn't prepared for life after because she said, you know, she has digestive issues because unlike the appendix, which really doesn't do anything. The gallbladder serves a purpose in your body. You can live without it because your other organs kind of take over.
Right.
But it's still a necessary thing that it produces bile. It helps digest your food.
Wait, so does that mean your poop schedule is going to be off if that happens?
Well, the caller on the radio was like, I always feel like I have diarrhea.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
And I'm like, that sounds awful.
So what, do you have to just sit at home all day? Like, you can't do anything?
I mean, I think that you...
Squirting out, like... what?
Oh, gosh.
Well, listen, Holly, if you're talking about you always have to feel like you have diarrhea, girl.
Well, I'm hoping if I do have to get the surgery that there might be some medications or diet changes that I can make so I don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then it got me thinking, do I absolutely need the surgery right now?
Mm.
Especially since I kind of feel like maybe whatever flare this is starting to clear up.
I wonder if you can pinpoint it to something that you had last week. Like, did you have any fatty foods? Did you...
The only thing I can think is, and somebody, I got several messages, so I have no idea who said this, but somebody, I think, wrote the Miguel and Holly Facebook page, and they were like, you know, stay away from red meat, pork, greasy foods, and things that are high in fiber.
It's everything that I like.
Yeah, right. That would be the hard thing.
But I did have pork chops the night before the flare happened. Wow. So maybe that was it.
Did you have pizza last week?
Pizza?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. I'm trying to think of stuff that, because, you know, people bring food to us all the time, and I'm trying to remember, is there anything at the end of last week that was brought in that you had that maybe...
Well, it started last Thursday, so it would have had to have been, like, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday last week.
Okay, think about that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. And so I'm kind of on a crossroads. Like, I know this sounds stupid, but I would rather not take out an organ unless it absolutely has to come out, rather than force my body to adjust to a new way of life, because... I got one flare up.
Right.
Like, if I.
That makes sense.
I'm going to, you know, call my doctor and go, you know, maybe see her or just ask and say, listen, I had this episode, which if it was still constant pain, I'd be like, make the appointment now.
Wow.
Put me in the ER now because that's how bad it was. But that's the first and only time it's ever happened. Mm-hmm. So I am wondering if I should just kind of wait it out a little bit and see if it happens again. If it does, take notes this time, like get some research on it instead of just being like, oh, time to take
it
out.
Let's do it. I just feel bad for your bum. Like, if you have, like, the feel, that just keeps echoing in my head, that listener that said, it feels like I have diarrhea all the time. Because I feel like whenever I get that feeling, I feel like I don't want to go to the gym. I only want to go to work. And that's barely. Because if we're in the middle of talking on the radio and it hits, I'm sweating bullets. And that's happened before where we're like, get through the segment quick. Like, I got out of the bathroom.
Right, right. So I just don't know. And So I'm thinking about it right now. So yeah.
I do want to bring up two different things between Scott and Holly, because we do a weekly meeting every week where we sort of talk about stuff going on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we were talking about this with you, Scott, about this balance of life that you had with your girlfriend, Mary. And I think also, Ryan, that you can speak on it too, sis.
Okay, sis.
Because I feel like that comes up with your girlfriend, Taryn, the balance of life between like work and relationship. And now you just bought a house, and we haven't even talked about that a whole lot, that you're buying a house right now. And so what are your concerns, Scott, with this whole balance of life thing?
I think it's just making sure that like each area of my life is getting the proper amount of time You know, because I think sometimes if I prioritize, and I want to, a lot of time to work and making sure that I'm getting ahead and staying ahead, and because I want to be at a level of success one day that, you know, I've accomplished everything I ever dreamed of.
Oh, do you want to live like me? Do you want to be very rich?
I want to live the fullest.
You want to live the fuller life?
Oh,
get
okay.
it? The fuller, Miguel fuller life.
Exactly. I mean, but really, yes. I think like that's my biggest fear is to not live up to my potential. But at the same time, like knowing when it's like, okay, be able to, when you're home, be home. And I think that's been the biggest problem, especially after I had a conversation with my girlfriend, Mary. It was like, you know, you constantly stress about things, you know, whether it's work-related or school-related, and your head's always cluttered with things. And to me, I don't feel like that, but I think it comes up when there's, like, little things that all of a sudden I blow up. Like, when my roommates leave out dishes, and it's like, that starts to get to me, but I think it's the underlying stress of, like, when I'm not doing something, I need to be doing something, and even when I'm, like, sitting down and hanging out with my girlfriend, she could tell when I'm not, like, mentally there. You know, she's like, we were even on the phone like yesterday and we're talking and all of a sudden she's like, I could tell like you're thinking about other things. So like, let's just get off the phone now. To like, and not in like a mean way, but like, you know, like I understand like you're thinking about stuff. So like, go ahead and like figure that out. Cause I think I was stressing about the interview I did. And so she's like, we'll talk later about it. And learning when I'm home, how to step away and not stress about things that I can't even do anything about in that moment is my, I think that's where I'm at right now.
You know, I think, and that's just a perfect example of how they always say in radio, the spouse has the hardest job in radio because it's so hard to wrap your mind around it if you haven't lived the radio life, but it's like constant always. Where it's like it never leaves your brain. Because if you work at a job that you're able to walk in, you do your work, you punch out, and you're done, and you don't have to worry about it, so you can be present, you can be in the moment, that's beautiful. That's great. But if you don't and you have a job that, you know, the what we do on the air is like the tip of the iceberg. Like, that's the fun part. But then there's so much stuff that goes on behind the scenes that takes up mental space that it's hard to be able to step away from it when you're at home.
Yeah.
Ryan, how have you dealt with that? Because, I mean, when you joined our show, you were, what, 25?
Yeah, I think. I can't remember now.
You don't even know your life.
I started.
Was it 3 years ago?
Because isn't your birthday the 26th?
27th of September.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you were 26 when you started, because I remember the 27-27 party being a big deal.
Okay,
Okay. So how have you balanced that? Because you've had girlfriends in the past before you were on the radio. Now you have a girlfriend that you got together a little bit right before you joined the show. How have you found that balance, you know, 3 years into this job as opposed to Holly and I being in it for a while?
It's tough because... it's always on like weekend stuff, and I was doing research the nights before for the show, so it's like I'm in the morning and then at night also, and then weekend stuff. It's like I couldn't really plan anything ahead of time, so I don't know. They just have to sort of get over that fact themselves. Like, I don't really know what... When you're in it at first, you have no control over anything, so you can't do anything about it. If you want to be in it, you have to be in it. So, I mean, they have to be okay with that to a certain extent as well.
Yeah. No, it's true.
So, I mean, since I've been promotions manager and on the show, there's been a lot more time that has been taken up, but it's a lot more structured time.
Yeah.
And I can sort of like call more shots and just sort of balance things out, like take weekends and just turn it off. Make sure my team is set up to not mess up on the weekend so they don't have to call me, give them what they need so they don't have to, so I don't have to get that call on like middle of Sunday and be like, oh God. Yeah. Okay. So, it's just sort of like planning ahead and making sure your ducks are in a row, and then you can go home and separate yourself from work. And that's sort of what I've been doing right now.
I think that it's what you say is true, and it takes a while in the business to get to a level where you can step away a little bit. Because, I mean, even for Miguel and I, like when we first started, I mean, let me go even back to like you were in college, Miguel, but I was in my first radio job. I mean, I was at that place 24/7, it seemed like. I had no, I mean, I was living on my own, but didn't have a boyfriend. My college boyfriend and I had just recently broken up, which was probably a really good thing for me because he was like on the, you know, family path. And he's like, well, I can just work and you can open a dance studio. And I was like, okay, that's thank you so much, but nope, that's not for me right now. So he and I had broken up, and I had a couple friends, but really my friends were at the radio station, and all we did was radio. And right. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, the Sunday NASCAR races and like board hopping things, and like this was good, and I've said this before. I had all the remotes at that time, so I got like tons of money from remotes, but that meant every Saturday and sometimes Sunday, I would have at least two remotes, you know, a day, whatever. It was a lot. So I lived there, and that was the first 4 years after college. I mean, it was nonstop. I even had a discussion a while back with my program director at that station, who he and I are good friends. We were friends then. We went to college together, and he had recently gotten married when I first started working after college. I was 22. He was 20. Gosh. So he was 24. Like, they let the kids run the station, apparently.
Wow.
So, like, we were just there doing our thing. And then, like, a year later, he got married. And I was like, oh, man, are you sure you want to get married? Like, you're so young. He's like, well, I've been with her since high school. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But then after we get past all that, I think we were in Panama City. We had a conversation. And I was like, God, I mean, I put my heart and soul into that building. And he's like, if you hadn't, it wouldn't have done what it did.
Right.
He's like, because every radio station needs someone or a couple people or several people, depending on the size of the station, to live and breathe it. Because he's like, we couldn't have done all the stuff that we did do without you, because I was tending to a new marriage. He's like, I couldn't even give it what it needed at the time because I had two things going on, and I didn't. I had a cat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cat. I specifically got a cat because I was like, well, she'd be fine for a couple days. But so that's how it is. And then in Panama City, it's like you start over and you are again pouring all of yourself into it. Finally, I am at a point now where I can shut it off. And it's not necessarily because I want to. It's because I have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I had a kid. That is a game changer. Like, I felt like with my ex-husband, too, I would just be like, listen, who's I got to get the bills paid. So sorry about you. I'm working. You know what I mean? But like, when you have a child, that really doesn't fly.
Right.
And so I.
Because then they end up in the therapist being like, all my mom did was work. She didn't talk to me or help me with anything. All she cared about was the radio station.
And now I'm a stripper. Not listen. If you want to be a stripper, go do you. But
you didn't make that money. I wish I could. I would. If I want to see my dong.
Maybe in the summer. I don't know.
Come on. Do it.
Anyway, so, but now what my normal.
Holly, what are you doing with your nose?
I've been watching that the whole time.
You've been just dangling that and diggling that nose so much as you're talking. I'm like, all I can do is keep looking at your nose right now.
It itches. And
do you
I
need
just,
some napkins or something?
I mean, sure, but it's not going to happen. There's nothing in there. It just itches. And you know what I realized it is? It's my pain medication.
Oh.
It makes my nose itch.
That's fascinating.
She's tweaking on that pain medication.
She's like, tweak, 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 tweak.
I forgot that happens. Okay, so, but I will go home and I do stuff for the show, like here after the show. And then once I go home, I take an hour if I have it. If you know, I get home early in the day, either grab a nap, do something that's adulty, like, oh, I got to pay these bills. Oh, I got to clean. And then as soon as I get my daughter, and this is where I feel guilt because, you know, the guilt is real. Once I have her, I don't check my phone until she goes to bed. I mean, it sounds crazy. And even I'm like, how is that possible? I really don't. Sometimes at like 8 o'clock, depending on when she finally falls asleep, I'll get to my phone and I just open my email and it's like, you have 57 new emails. And I'm like, nope, not, I can't. No, it's 8 p.m. And I just, now I'm stressed out.
Right.
So it's possible to do that balance, but it takes a lot of putting in the time early on to get to a point, I think, when you can finally say, I have to shut this one off and do this one next.
Well, and I also think, too, with our relationship, because we've worked together for so long, that, you know, I can answer for the two of us. Like, I usually know your schedule. And so if I get an email from Ryan or a text or something from management and they're like, hey, can you all make an appearance here or something?
That's what's hard with this show, because you're like, hey, can you guys do this? And so you need two people to answer, or sometimes four.
Right.
And you're like, are you expecting all of this to happen at 4 p.m.?
Right. And so that's why, like, because I'm always available unless I'm at CrossFit for that hour. And so I'll call Holly and be like, I know she'll answer her phone if I call.
Yes.
And so then I'll be like, hey, can you do this appearance? And 2 weeks and we get money. Yes, I can do it. Okay, thank you. Okay, bye. You'll get more details later. But we worked together for so long, and I don't mind doing that. And that's sort of like the dynamic of our show and like how we work.
It's really a saving grace for me, by the way. I don't know if we've ever talked about that, but thank you.
Oh, of course. I don't mind, because it lets me be in control more, and I love being in control, so I don't mind.
I know. I know. Sometimes I gotta be like, whoa, whoa, I will figure it out.
Right,
I say that like once every year. That's all.
Usually when I'm on my cruise and I'm like not available.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime Miguel's not available, I come in like I am fucking driving the ship. I'm like, who needs what? To come to me and I will answer all questions. I'm like zinging out emails.
Yeah.
Obviously I have it, but I am more than happy to be like, you got this, baby.
Well, and that's okay. I mean, and so that's what it comes down to, is like finding a working partnership. And I think for like right now, I don't mind, like I pour everything into the show. Like, you know, I go home, I take a nap, and then I'm doing social media. I go to CrossFit, I come home, then I'm looking at stuff for the next day's show, and then and beyond, and listening to other shows and stealing ideas from other shows and seeing how we can make it our own and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so you never stop. But to sort of circle all the way back around, is I feel like you have to have an understanding with your partner that, okay, know that sometimes I'm gonna look at my phone when we're watching a movie and I'm gonna be doing answering questions from listeners, you know, or I have to go during something important to go do an event somewhere because it's making us money, or I just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's you and I time, it's you and I. And so that's why, like with my boyfriend, I'm like, all right, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? When it's a date night or we're doing something just the two of us, I will put my phone down. I'm like, all right, what's up? What's going on? And then usually he's like, I don't know.
You finally get that time alone. It's like, hey,
that's the problem. Well, you can't figure it out after. It's like the silence is so so rare. You sit across from each other and go, so, hey, I'm Holly.
Hey.
Nice to see you.
Hey.
It's good.
Hey. Hey.
How y'all doing?
What's going on?
That's me. Taryn's always going a mile a minute and like talking to me, and I have all these things swirling around in my head, like all
like
the different things I do. And then I'm like, yeah. Sup?
Oh my God, why didn't I bring this up on the show?
Like, I can only deal with being social and like thinking about a million things. It seems if I have like way too much caffeine.
And then, or you're tipsy.
Oh.
Then you can handle it.
Yeah.
You know
then
what?
Then some things get forgotten so that I can make room for the new stuff. So it becomes like jumbled.
You know, I just realized this. Holly, you did this story in Trending in Tampa Bay a few weeks ago, and it was about couples that tell stories at the same time and you don't know where to look.
Oh, yeah.
And I just realized this at our morning show dinner party, that Ryan and Taryn, when you two tell stories, like she'll be talking and then you'll start talking over her, or it'll change up. And so then you're like, wait, who do I look at? I feel nervous. And there was a couple of times where like you'd be telling a story and then she would start talking. So then I would like, as you were in the middle of your story, I would turn away and look at her, and then she'd keep it going. But then you'd keep talking and I was like,
who do I look at?
No. Well, how do you do? Like, do y'all realize y'all are doing that?
I don't know. You have to give me like a specific example.
Oh God, I don't even remember, because we were all having a lot of wine that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just remember there was like twice that it happened, and I thought to myself, I need to write this down and remember to bring this up on the podcast or on the air, because I thought, because we had just talked about it a few days before that on the show, and I was like, I don't know where to look when you two both start telling stories and you don't realize that you're doing it.
No. I have no idea.
No. Yeah. Wow. It just happens.
So what do you do in that case? Like when you have a couple, like I felt bad, but then I feel like you two
Wait
both get so excited.
Were I didn't telling, even notice.
Were they telling the same story?
Yes. Yeah, so it would be like, so let's just say that, just for reference point, that we're talking about, remember the Pokey Crawl that we did?
Mm-hmm.
And like just for an example, we didn't talk about this, but let's say I'm Ryan and I'm like, yeah, and so Miguel was on the cruise and then Pokemon Go and I created this fake account on Facebook and it was so funny. And then she would jump in and be like, I know it was great. And then they had like the Squirtles and the four different things. And then Ryan keeps talking
keeps
about the station
on.
Point and she's talking about what actually happened that day. And then you're like, wait, I have to make a conscious decision on whose story I'm going with and who do I look at.
You all got to get it together.
I guess. I'll have to ask her if she notices.
Yeah, it was just really funny. Something that I consciously thought about, because I do know that like when I'm with my boyfriend and if he's in the mood where like he wants to be the talker, like I will be quiet and I will let him like take over.
And then Miguel will explode.
Well, if there's something that I really need to get off my chest, then I will. But I'm like, this is your show, baby. You do, you talk, you tell the jokes. And I remember that was one time on the cruise last year that we going with my best friends from college. And it was after one night when I was like really hungover. And there was this like, we were sitting in the hot tub and I wasn't even drinking like the first half of the day because Damn. I was so hungover. And so this old lady from like New Jersey was trying to talk to me and she was like, so where are you two from? What are you do? And like it would take me a good 10 seconds before I started talking. And so he could tell I was struggling. So then he took over and I was like, I am never more grateful in this moment for you to take over, because this woman from New Jersey is just lovely.
Oh, of course.
But I cannot handle this conversation right now. I just want to sit in this hot tub in silence and find my way to a mimosa somehow.
That's right. That's right.
Somehow. So does that answer your question, Scott, about how to handle that?
Yeah, no, I think like even like going back, like I thought that point that you said, Holly, about like you don't even look at your phone for hours, like out of everything, just in life in general, I think that's awesome. Because I think a lot of times like I go out and I see like either families or like people that just constantly look at their phone when their kid's right there. And I'm like, oh, your kid like is literally looking up to you, talking to you, and you're like so distracted. And so that in itself, without radio and all this stuff like that, is beautiful. Like, that's really cool.
Because
a lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah. No, I really try because, and I mean, I blame my mom. And this is another one of those damn situations where your mom is right about shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, she will always get on to me about, you're always on your phone. And she's old. So, like, she doesn't know about that phone life. She still literally cannot use her iPhone. And she's had one for, like, 7 years.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. So she'll always like get on to you about it. And then I will get mad because I'm like, I'm doing stuff, woman. And then. But what it does, all of her nudging and her nagging, it kind of settles in your brain and it makes you start actively noticing how often you're on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all addicted to our phones.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, sometimes if it's near me, I'll just pick it up out of habit and be like, what am I doing with this? I'm scrolling Instagram. I'm scrolling Facebook. I'm scrolling Twitter. Did I get any notifications? What are the emails that popped up? Do I have an Amazon package alert? Like, there's so much content on your phone, you're missing what's happening with your kid or kids.
Yeah.
And then when you go out in public, you're right. Like, I see a lot of, and I'm not judging other moms, but like, you'll go to a play center or whatever. And sometimes for a mom, that's the only time she gets to like look at her phone and be like, listen, my kid is playing, I'm looking at this. But the problem with that is like, if your kid is like the unruly one or whatever, and you're not watching, bad shit starts to happen.
Right.
Like, I'm watching and I'm like, ooh, I'm pretty sure that lady's kid just shoved someone.
Oh.
So now other parents are looking around to like find that parent. And it's tough. I get it. Sometimes you just want to look at your damn Facebook. And that's why moms have been known to like close themselves in the bathroom or the closet or the pantry and be like, give me 5 minutes. Like, because you can't even go to the bathroom.
Mm.
And I never realized how awfully true that cliche is, because I wish there was a lock on my bathroom door in my bedroom. There's not, because I ran out of locking handles when I was installing them, so that one's the non-locking
That's
kind.
The one.
Oh, no.
And what happens is I'll go in the bathroom and close the door. There's
not even a knock. No.
It's just, Mom, can you watch this? Can you watch me do this? I want you to see me do this. And I'm like, Maya, I am going potty right now. Can you just give me a minute? And she's like, I just want to be by you. And how do you, What am I supposed to be like? Get away from me while I'm pooping.
My mom was.
I know, but see, look how you turned out. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. But like, I, it's a hard balance for me to be like, get the F away from me and like, okay, I know you want to be with me and this is good for our bonding. And listen, once kids get into school, it goes real fast. Mm. I am fully aware that in the next several years, she is not going to want to spend any time with all uncool mom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be like wanting to know because you got to know everything your kids are doing.
Right.
And she's going to be like, whatever. Just don't bother me. Ugh. And like, so I'm trying to soak up what I have with her. And plus, it's just so important to form those bonds.
Right.
So it's like, you got to make a choice sometimes. And it's a hard one. But once you get out of the habit of constantly having something in your hand, it took like maybe a year for me to really, wow. In the afternoons now, like I'll check my phone briefly if she's like, runs to another room or is doing something else or we're watching a TV show for her and we're together, mm-hmm. That's a time when I can like, I'm holding her, we're watching TV, but I'm like on my phone kind of checking out because I'm not trying to watch Peppa Pig, whatever. So those are some small times to do it. It's a tough balance with parenting and phones though.
But I think also, Scott, you have to answer your phone at all times. You're in that point in your career where
you
got to be open and available at all times. Now, if you decide to have a kid in 10 years, then yes, you go ahead and do it, but not anytime soon.
Oh, no, my phone's, strapped. But it is that balance, though, like, and that's something I've made a conscious effort of is when it's one-on-one time,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you need to have that, especially, I want my relationship to last.
Right.
So it's like, I got to put my phone away. Like, I'm not going to look at it. Make that conscious effort. But it all, sometimes you slip up and it's like, oop, sliding through Instagram. And it's like, we're literally in the middle of a conversation. It's like, okay.
Except for if I text or call, then, that chop chop.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, not if you're sending like memes.
No. But if I send something really important.
Oh,
of course.
Yes.
And important documents and stuff like that. Yeah.
If I'm sending a really funny meme that a topic could be based off of.
Yes.
Then you've got answer and respond to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And just know you'll be living right below me, so I'll be able to come.
You're going to stomp on the floor. And
I'll be like,
hey!
Hey! Why didn't you answer my text?
I'm not here.
I think, Scotty, you need to get a broom so you can knock on the ceiling of your room, which will be the floor of the kitchen. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Get that broom. I'm so interested to see how this whole living situation works out between the two of you.
We've been talking about it inside of my house.
Oh,
and
great.
We're just really curious on how it's going to work. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I assume that when I was your age and I graduated from college, I was like never at my apartment at the time. Like I was either at the radio station, at an event, or at my second job.
Yeah.
So I usually was only there to sleep. And unless I had friends coming into town on the weekends that I didn't have an event, and that was very rare in that year, I was always gone. I mean, and even it wasn't until like the last year or so, even when I lived with you, Holly, that I was home a lot.
Because we were unemployed.
Even before that, when we were living in Tampa at the other radio station, and that station didn't do a lot, and so I was at home a lot.
I know. We got home. That's what, it blew my mind, because we went from working until like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then suddenly we were home by 11.
Yes.
And I was like, what do I do?
How does your life, that's when I got a life coach, because I felt lost in my life, because I'm like, I'm not working all the time. So like, what do you do with your time when you're an adult and you have nothing to do? And then you don't have a lot of money as well.
Yeah, it's a bad combo.
And then that's when I signed up for a boot camp, which led into CrossFit. So that's why you got to find a hobby.
I'm looking for, I'll find one. I'm planning on like, as soon as I graduate, see how this is going on my little trips, and then boom, like hopefully something's even going more here. And I have another job, and so I'm looking forward to the hustle. I like the hustle, but for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Are you nervous living with me?
I'm more so interested. I'm not nervous, but mm-hmm. I hope it just helps our friendship and our growth and doesn't, like, hurt it. Because that would be awkward in the morning for a show if it ruins the relationship. But that's fine. That's fine.
I think Miguel is old enough now to, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, no, I really don't think there'll be any problems.
Why are you cackling?
Yeah, stop breathing into the damn mic.
What are you doing? It's so weird.
I wanted to touch on one last thing before we are done today. Holly, I know, and we'll dance around this a little bit because it deals with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You basically about feeling unworthy and about, well, I'll let you tell the story.
So I'm trying to figure out how I want to frame this because I didn't know we were going to talk about this. I would say.
Or do you want to save it for next time?
I might want to save it for next time.
Tease. Okay. Okay.
I actually think let me save it for next time because mm-hmm. I want to put some thought into how I do this. And for the podcast like this, I usually just fire from the hip and I'm right. like, here's how it's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually something that I think is important.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to frame it in a way that I feel good about instead of saying a bunch of stuff and mm-hmm. then being like, I don't know, you know, no.
Right.
Let me get my thoughts together. But I will tell you the overview is that for the past probably, I'm not sure when it started. I think maybe late summer last year,
mm-hmm.
I started really struggling with myself, like with myself in the context of the radio station, in the context right. of our show,
mm-hmm.
As a friend, as a partner. I feel like I was just going through a little bit of a metamorphosis, maybe. I was going through a time. And
a time.
I feel like based on some recent events, I've sort of come through and I'm out on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a lot lighter. But it does involve someone else, and I want to kind of discuss with them about how and, you know, which way I can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also involves other people at the radio station a little bit.
Right.
And it involves some news that's not mine, so I don't really know what all can be said yet. Mm. It's kind of dependent upon a lot of things. But I am happy to say that recently, some things have happened in my life, and I just feel a little bit more at peace with myself. But yeah, I went through a period, and it was hard because, I mean, I did life coaching, I did research, I did like those self-help books, and I couldn't figure out what was happening and what my path was meant to be. And I'm still a little murky on like a 5 to 10 year plan, if that makes sense, because mm-hmm. that's even tied in with all of this. But I feel more confident about it.
Good. I'm really curious.
I know that sounds probably so, and everyone's like, anyone listening is like, what the hell is you, what, like, make speak plain.
No.
But I can't really yet. I'd like to talk about it, and I think it's more important than just kind of spilling out tidbits.
When it deals with other people, you have to take some sensitivity about it.
Because
you know?
I'm always willing to throw myself under the bus.
Right, right.
But some stories aren't mine to tell. Some mm-hmm. pieces and parts of it need to be delicate.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here are a couple of emails that we received from you that listen to the podcast as we close out. This came from Sarah N. Mm-hmm. She said, hey, Miguel and Holly and Ryan and Scott. I've recently started listening to your podcast, probably since the beginning of the year, and I love it. You guys are so real and relatable. I laugh with you. I cry with you. So many things that you talk about I can relate to, especially with Holly and her daughter, because I am a mom, too. I'm a single mom of an 8-year-old boy who is smart beyond his years and keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
I love how you're not afraid to tell it like it is in real language, uncensored, and no topic is off limits. I listen to you in the morning on my way to work and on podcast days. I have a 40-minute commute, so sometimes the podcast makes it through 2 days because I have to turn it off when I pick up my son. Thank you for being real and giving me something to look forward to on my drive home once a week. Though, I think you should have more than one podcast a week. Sarah.
Oh, thank you, Sarah.
Awesome.
And God bless you with that smart yet rambunctious boy.
For real. He's going to be famous.
Yeah.
Have we read this one from Jeffrey Perez? Does that sound familiar?
I don't know.
I'm going to read it and tell me if this sounds familiar because I just throw everything into a folder.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't respond to you if you email me, by the way. I respond on the air, so that's how I know we've gotten to it. So thank you, Sarah. I'm deleting your email. This is from Jeffrey. This mm-hmm. is to be the last one. Hey, Miguel, Holly, Ryan, and Scott. I'd like to give some of my time and let you guys know that you all are truly amazing. The message behind the topics, especially on the Uncensored podcast, even when you guys go off on a rant, Scotty is all grown up and graduating. It feels like an eternity. wait, it feels like an eternity, and like I'm a part of you, family, personally, even though it's only been a year since I've been a listener. When you guys hit the plug to listen to the Uncensored podcast, after a few episodes, I was hooked. Holly shared a story. She started crying about her daughter, sharing the realness and rawness. Even when Holly did not need to, she just feels like she should share, unless Miguel forces her to share. Then that's another story.
Yep.
And then Miguel sharing Mr. Silver Fox and missing out on, I believe, Thanksgiving or Christmas to help me understand my situation and my fiance about sharing the holidays with both sides of the family. Scotty with Granny and showing up to remember family even though you're wrapped up in life. All this really does go a long way with me, because one day I'd like to start my own company and podcast, and this is the level of connection I would love to have, and you guys inspire me to keep pushing forward, to set goals, to live life, to connect with my future employees and be humble. If you're still reading this, I love you guys. Keep being you. That's what definitely keeps me listening. Jeffrey Prez.
Damn.
Wow.
My heart just became so full. Like, I got a little emotional in the middle of that. I was like, wow, like, that's exactly why I wanted to get in the radio. That's cool.
That's cool.
That's what it's all about.
It is. And you know what?
Scotty's face is as red as his sweatshirt
is.
Yes,
cool, man. Are you okay?
I literally did get a little emotional there, because I was like, wow, like, that just shows, like, you know, because I tell people all the time, it's like, you don't know that people listen. Like, you don't have that, you know,
right,
spectrum when you're in a room and it's just like us just hanging out. But then it's like people have their stories that connect and people message you. And it's like, that's exactly why I wanted to get into radio,
yeah,
was to help people and influence others. And it's like, those little things like are awesome to see. It connects with people.
Yeah. I'm always blown away by what people say back to us that they learned from us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm like, damn, you got all that out of one thing that I said.
Right.
Because, I mean, we are just getting through life together,
mm-hmm,
and trying to do it gracefully. And the fact that people pick up on all these different things,
yeah, mm-hmm,
is truly amazing, and it blows my mind. And I'm so glad to be able to be like a conduit for that to those people.
Yeah, so thankful for the opportunity to be able to do that. So please keep your emails coming. You can email me, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com, and we will get to it on the air. And I think next week we should plan a day. Maybe we'll do the podcast like on a Monday, and then we'll be like, all right, this Thursday, we're just going to casually have lunch somewhere in St. Pete.
Yeah.
And if you happen to listen, just meet us out and say hi. It'll be nothing official, nothing with the station. We'll just be hanging out somewhere,
okay,
and no one will show up.
Damn,
that was
it.
A computer, sorry.
Damn it. Okay, Miguel, so we're not going to be here Monday. So
no.
Tuesday, maybe let's do the podcast Tuesday and mm-hmm. then go out on Thursday.
All right. Let's see. Tuesday, Thursday. I have appointment for my feet.
You gotta get them toes checked.
What about lunch on Friday?
I think Friday the 12th. I think it's possible.
Can we do Friday lunch? Friday the 12th. Ryan, check your calendar.
No, I'm out. 10, 11, 12.
You're gone?
Where are you going?
Have a photography thing.
Ooh, he's so fancy.
Where are you going?
It's Power Design over there.
Mm-hmm.
They have a 3-day event.
So just after the show, you'll be gone.
I'll be gone all day.
Oh, you're not
all
doing the
days.
Show?
No.
Why didn't you tell me, bitch? I don't even know your fucking
schedule. You know what?
I thought I told you already.
You know what? My favorite thing is when we all get in the studio and Ryan doesn't come in and we're like, wait, is Ryan off today? And on the air, we'll be like, oh, did he talk to you? No. Is he somewhere? And then we go on social media and like Ryan's over here with a fish.
That's an awesome video of a fish
yeah.
he caught.
He's like, hey, guys, I'm in China right now. I didn't know.
He's like, I don't know if I emailed y'all or not, but I'm not going to be in for like the next week. And we're like, oh.
Oh,
Ryan.
There we go.
It just really, it's like this ongoing joke that just cracks me up. I love it. So anyway.
So you're out the 10th, 11th, and 12th. All right. Well, we can't do it then. Let's see. What about the Thursday, the 18th? Thursday, Ryan, I swear to God, if you say that
just
you were
kidding,
gone,
I'm open.
You better be open. Holly, are you open?
On the 18th?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous because Maya's spring break starts then, and she's in like a art camp for the next week, but that's before it starts. So she'll probably be home with my mom, right? Yeah, I think that might be okay.
We'll just wait to May.
No, I think we could maybe do the 18th.
The 18th? All right, so we'll do a podcast next week, and then we'll just check back in with each other. Can you do the 18th, Scott? Or are you going to be? Well, you're actually going to fucking China soon.
In May. I still got some time. I'm here.
Possible podcast lunch somewhere.
Miguel, that same day is when we're speaking at USF.
That's true.
You're all speaking at USF?
Yes.
That's dope.
Yes.
Yes. Well, we've spoken at USF before. Don't act like you're the only one that's fancy over here.
I'm fancy over there. Nothing, but I think that's cool because I go there. That's like my hood.
We're actually going to be speaking at the Mass Comm Awards Banquet.
What did you just pull it up? Because I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, are you going to be there?
No, you didn't get an award? I didn't get an award.
You didn't get an award?
No.
Under Mass Comm?
Is it the Zimmerman School of Advertising and Mass Communications holds a banquet every year? No?
Well, I mean, I'm not in that school.
Oh, right.
Like, I'm not that fancy, but that's really cool, man. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're speaking on that thing. All right.
That's a great college. Great students over there.
We're going to speak on it, sis. Mm-hmm. All right, we're done. I need to go.
Yep.
Scott, what's all your social media?
You can follow me at Scott Tavlin, SCOTTTAVLI.
Ryan.
How many T's is that?
That's three T's.
Three T's.
Three T's.
I like two TTs.
TTs.
TTT.
Okay. Ryan, what's your social media?
It's Instagram at Radio McGib, MCGIB. Facebook is just MCGIB.
Holly?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Miguel Fuller on everything, facebook.com/radiomiguel for that. Also, we have new Miguel and Holly window clings.
Pretty good.
Yeah. But you can only win them if you listen at the top of the show at 6 a.m. We always ask for the first member of the family to call up, help us kick off the show right at 6. And if you are the first call of the day, we literally mail you myself. I write out on the envelope the name, and I mail it to you that afternoon, and you get it in a couple of days. So if you want it, Miguel and Holly window cling, all you got to do is listen at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You got it.
All right?
Yep.
All right, guys, said it. Cling, not clean.
Not clean.
Clean.
You were like a window clean.
Window clean. All right, listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com on the Hot 101.5 app, or if you have an iPhone, you can always just click on the podcast app and type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.